Episode commencing in 3, 2, 1. Episode initiated.
Dark clouds of purple poison and green acid roil over the pulsating tumor of a planet known as Octurn. Inside a maelstrom 100 miles wide, we can see the end of the world happening as a opaque portal through which we find grasping finger-like tentacles falling like mint tree trunks from an impossibly large entity beyond the veil, this ancient evil elder being whose dimensions and countenance do not make sense in our plane of existence, beckons forth. We see it grabbing its appendages, sticking themselves into the malignant soil of this world, beginning to siphon occult energy from deep within. A million psychic screams issue forth from these world wounds as a planet cracks and pain is injected inside the stranger. Suddenly, a starship pierces the veil of vile, choking darkness, its sleek chassis being burnt and scarred as it slips into the cloudy vortex of death. Mystic darkness and extra-dimensional shards fracturing this world as the ship's rainbow-like magical exhaust seems to blow through the apocalyptic storm. We bear witness to a being of pure light whom emerges from the starship, wings made of gossamer neon energy that seems to shine in colors inconceivable to the minds of this world. The figure of color and beauty and light carries with them a dark blade, a glaive older than any living being, a weapon made of darkness, made of pain, and carrying within it a single tortured soul. This god being begins to do battle with the eldritch horror as the starship fires dozens of rockets of atomic fire. Clouds of radioactive brilliance light up this dark world as circular blasts form, eradicating bits of impossible tentacle flesh and giving the goddess of beauty time to slip into the impenetrable portal and find the beast's heart. A maze of 1,000 years springs up and traps her mind as she is transported to a dimension of madness. Everything turns inside out. Pain becomes pleasure here. Clarity, confusion, beauty obliterated by darkness. And the goddess would have been obliterated as well, lost forever here. But another being came and took pity and wrapped his hands around the glaive that was once his. Her beauty matched by his dark, dark features. His pain reflected in her desire to spread light and art. The brother took his sister's hand, and as they both grasped one another, they also held together the whisper of souls, the glaive that was once his. Sharing an embrace once more, one not shared for millennia, caused an explosion of mythic force. The explosion rocked this mirror realm, destroyed both gods Shaylin and her sibling, Zonkuthun, a sacrifice that allowed them to fell their ancient foe as the outer god, deadly wounded, recoiled in pain and disgust to wherever it came from. In our own reality, a fireball of every imaginable color formed a mile-wide nucleus of light, and when darkness finally set back in and the light receded, the portal had closed, the tentacles were gone, and the goddess had disappeared. A whistling sound pierced the sudden silence of this near cataclysm as the glaive itself fell to the planet Octurn's surface, landing sharp side down, sticking into once was a tumorous mountaintop where they said a being would one day be born. A keening psychic wail emanated forth from the planet's center as the world wound started by this incursion began to widen, and a cry of pain rippled across the star system, a cry that wakes you all up with a start from the most vivid dream or perhaps darkest nightmare that you've ever experienced. Welcome everyone to Cosmic Crit 2.0. This is Starfinder second edition, and we're starting off a new universe, same universe, new universe, and a new playthrough of a playtest adventure called A Cosmic Birthday by Jenny Jarzabski. Jarzabs, J-Zabs, friend of the podcast. My name is Patrick. I'm your game master and guide through the world of Starfinder and your podcast pilot, your cosmic critty extraordinaire. Joining me are four of my favorite friends and some of your players for this mini campaign. We got Drew, Jipper, Rebecca, Tyler. Hey, guys.
Hey. Hello.
Yo-ho.
Hey, it's all you.
Yo-ho.
Yo, yeah,
Drew, Drew, whoa.
I get to say it now.
Tyler's like, that's my word.
I like this.
How are you guys doing?
Oh, lovely on this beautiful Sunday afternoon.
Yeah. Just got back from a four-day vacation up on beautiful Mount Hood here in Oregon. So ready to rock.
We just celebrated St. Patrick's Day, so it's been a great time.
I was about to say, let's pretend actually we're recording this in 2024 when this adventure came out and things weren't so bad.
I don't know what that's supposed to mean.
No, we're recording this, and this will probably take a while to come out. But if you're listening to this, you might be a Patreon supporter and listening to it a little bit early. You might be on the main feed. But yeah, we're really excited. We've done a good amount of Starfinder 2.0 playtest stuff, but I'm really ready to get into some longer form. Jin, excited to play tonight, and this is this, and if we do Empires Divided, it's kind of like a season zero for both the next phase of Starfinder with 2.0 second edition, and revitalizing some different ways that we do Cosmic Crit, maybe for a whole new generation of fans. Maybe a lot of folks already in the second edition Pathfinder world will be like, you know what? It's the same rules. I think I could spring for a couple books or maybe make a little mini campaign, play some Starfinder. Yeah. So part of this, you know, that means this recording, it's going to be a little different from some past seasons of Cosmic Crit. You know, we're going to focus on playing the game, actually running wild through the game.
I don't know about all this.
Keeping the game, keeping the story going, having fun, hopefully.
Hopefully.
Yeah, we've been playing Starfinder for almost 8 years, so trying to keep it fresh, you know. Maybe
this old dog refuses to learn new tricks. I will play Starfinder no matter what,
like our fathers did.
Yes, just because you choose to translate it into your fancy hoity-toity new system.
I love that you guys are the ones talking about the new system because you played PF2E for like 5 years.
You don't have to call me out. That's mean.
I'm still going to say, as the one person who has spent like two specials playing any kind of 2E content for Pathfinder or Starfinder, maybe three, it's still very new to me. So,
well, then you can be our new player listener gateway into the game. If you have questions, Drew, speak up, because these old PF heads,
old scallywags, as we call them,
they probably know the base rules very well. But the other person that hasn't played a ton of second edition with us is not here tonight. That's our buddy Miles, who
doesn't love us.
Doesn't love playing Starfinder ever again. I was thinking, because this part is broken up into like a few, or this adventure has a few sections, maybe he'll join in the next part, or maybe someone else will take a little time off. But we'll get through all this campaign. It's a few levels. I think it takes you up to level 4 or so. So it is very similar to Junker's Delight or one of the other kind of mini seasons adventures that we've done. Could be a little bit, but so let's get into it. Are you excited to get to play A Cosmic Birthday?
Yeah,
love it.
When they announced when they announce it and Jane Jar Zabs as the author, I was like, oh great, it's named Cosmic something, now we have to play it. Like, but if it's bad, we have to, no matter what.
Should have played it in August, or we should have waited until August, because it's our Cosmic birthday, you know.
Oh yeah. Oh. Well, maybe this will come out on the main feed around then. I don't know what the math for when this would come out is, but that'd be fun. Yeah, let's get to it. I think I mentioned to you guys that when we start this adventure, you can make pretty much whatever character you want, but you are just a posse of space adventurers doing odd jobs on Absalom, scraping by. Maybe you know one another. Maybe you've worked together before, very similar to our season one characters. But you know, I tell you, you guys all had this crazy, very real, magical feeling dream, and you're all waking up. And I was wondering, without going into your class, your background, or maybe even who you are, if you guys want to just describe your characters in kind of like a montage mode, waking up, what's their morning routine? What do they look like? Getting ready for like a day of work for your character. What does that look like? And who wants to go first? Yeah, it's a little different character introduction.
Let's see. Yeah. Verdunth snaps awake in his bunk and smacks his head on the bunk on top of his, slightly rousing his roommate, and in a cold sweat as he wakes from a awful, terrible dream. Ah, what a bad dream. When he says, oh, such a bad dream that I had. But indeed, I quietly rise from my bunk and head towards the head and begin washing my face and my many, many armpits.
Oh, man. It's really unfair. Kasathans, I'm guessing, or yeah. Skittermanders, either Kasathan. One
yeah.
has to spend so much on deodorant. So much on
deodorant. It's just yeah. like, that's your whole life. That's your whole thing. But yeah, so yeah. So we're just living my best life, but I got another day, another dollar.
You're fast forwarding through this so quickly, but we've already discovered that you sleep on bunk beds. Like, yep. Is like your older brother on? Are you on top or bottom bunk?
No, I'm bottom bunk. Bottom bunk for sure. Yeah.
Classic.
Oh no, I feel like I'm like in a. I'm staying in a bunkhouse of some description.
Okay.
And I don't really have a permanent residence, so to speak.
Capsule hotel, maybe.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
You're on the bottom capsule there, so it's cool.
But we all have to share one capsule, and so it's just like it's a morgue. I live in a morgue. Okay. It's fine.
Oh, any what do we see when we look at your character? You said a Kasathan, right? What do you use to cover up your mouth?
Oh boy, is it even a mouth down there? Boy,
I'm pretty sure they got a mouth. I think everybody's got a mouth.
Who's to say? We got a gaping wet hole, just like a human.
They use a gun. Their mouth covering is just guns.
I think just a simple cloth that sort of like hangs across. I don't do like the whole head wrap thing. It's a little too constrictive. I gotta have range of motion for all my spell casting and such.
Ooh. Cool. Who
spoilers?
Yeah, I said don't tell us anything about your class. Who wants to go next? Describe your character waking up, what they look like.
So my character, in kind of a little hammock, sort of behind some crates at the spaceport, just kind of, you know, lurking around and you know, just taking some winks when he can, you know. But he's used to that. It's nothing new when he's not ship bound, and he kind of
ship bound. Yes,
kind of wakes up, looks around, weird, and not the weirdest thing he's been through lately. So you know, he's had some weirder dreams, but that one's certainly up there, maybe top five. top three. And then he kind of just dusts off, gathers up his stuff, and starts to, you know, make sure he doesn't get caught by station security.
So you're stowing away in the docks for it's a very comfortable place to sleep. Yeah, you're pretty easily able to get past robotic drone security. They just make sweeps. But what does your character look like? What do we see when you wake up?
Well, it's sort of a whir of mechanisms and glowing eyes, and I didn't really think about the design of this character. So,
close your eyes and describe what you see, Drew.
Man, I really didn't think you were going to put us on the spot like this. So I
who would have thought the first episode I would have been like, describe your character.
Well, but normally it's not the physical appearance of the character; it's the other stuff about the character.
Yeah, no, just read off the top of the sheet where it says ancestry, background, class. That's all we need to know. I'm just kidding, Drew. Description's the most important part, especially for someone like Tyler, who can't even imagine what you're saying right now. I like to throw Tyler under the bus because he didn't tell me for years that he had no imagination.
I'm thank you for phrasing it that way.
It's like if you walked the yellow brick road with Dorothy, you'd be like, man, I'd love to be able to imagine stuff. Oh, that'd be so good to have a working brain.
If I only had a mind's eye. Yeah, Drew, right now your character and me is like a department store mannequin. Undressed, just this blank.
Yes, oh, my character is undressed. So,
do you describe whirring mechanisms? Are you a robot?
Of some description, I think that I think you know, I've played other robotic characters that are maybe more robotic than this one. But
okay, what color is your skin? The most important question. Oh, you better not say the wrong one, Drew.
Salmon?
Holy frijole. That's the only wrong answer, and you managed to find it. Drew, salmon are salmon colored. Actually, it's a little funny joke about that. It's someone describing to a salmon how we have a color named after him. It's like, oh, it's a beautiful greenish blue color, like my scales. And like, no. Sorry. Oh. Yikes, awkward.
Have we told you guys how delicious you are yet?
It's a beet red color, Quay Fletcher. It's like, no, it's actually the color when we cook you. It's like, what? okay, I've grilled Drew long enough.
Like a salmon.
It's canon now. You're salmon colored, Drew. So hope you okay jot that down. There's gonna be a test later. Who's next?
I can go. Go ahead, Tyler.
Yay!
Rebecca's so, like, I saved the best for last.
No,
yeah,
as always.
So there's a commotion down in a lower area of the spike. You see, maybe 4 or 5, maybe getting a little unruly, Eoxian kind of types, undead types. Mm. And they're pounding on like a small apartment door, you know, about how late it is, and saying they need help. One of them looking a little injured, looking a little not well, and the door to the apartment like opens up, and as the door opens up, like the whole area around these kind of undead ancestry folk, it you know, the like, it's like the lights all dim. It's like, you know, it's like the light itself is fleeing from the doorway, and then through the doorway squeezes out this large aberration of black tendrils. Parts of the skin have these kind of bony spike protrusions as it sort of floats in the air, and this is cry, and they hear her out. You know, it's another day where some folks who are either were born undead or became undead, who can't seek normal medical assistance, have pounded on their door, hoping to receive some sort of help. And so,
yeah, you can't use regular healing serums if your fingers rotted off. you gotta go to a witch doctor for that one.
Yeah, and this group has a friend who seems to not be doing well, and Krykar motions them inside to begin another perhaps long day of work. Already tired, has not had much rest for due to these nightmares, and which are not uncommon to them.
We all got dream stuff going on. This is exciting.
Where's this ranking, like weirdest dreams you've ever had? Because it's like only top five for what was it, Jabert? Or
it was my character.
It was Drew's character. It's only in the top five. It's not the scariest dream he's had. It's a god fighting an elder beast.
Oh, I think it would be top five. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I spent a lot of time writing that intro, so I was hoping it would be like top three easily, maybe top one, but whatever. Cool. All right. Well, we've got all the riffraff out of the way. Rebecca, who, what exactly does your character look like waking up?
We go to a rather different vista for Zinko waking up. Zinko wakes up in a modestly decorated room on very clean white linens on a full-size bed. On her side table, she has a picture of about 60 Skittermanders of varying colorful fur. It's all of her grandparents and parents and siblings and cousins from back home on Vest 3. She gets up, she sits up in bed, looks at that lovely picture, sighs for a moment, loves her family, and then looks across from her bed and sees a rather, what's the word? Intimidating, I guess, portrait of some Vesk, you know, captain or something. And she kind of rolls her eyes at it despite herself. While the Skittermanders are tolerant of the Vesk, in this particular situation, it's because of the Vesk that she is stuck here on Absalom Station. She was supposed to be here for a short visit. Now she's here for a seemingly long visit, now that the Vesk have waged war against the Patra. So because of them, she is stuck here. But she, as a Skittermander, cannot sit idly by. She might as well make herself useful and go and help the people of Absalom Station in whatever way she possibly can. Make her family proud, make new friends. What better way to share with more peoples the helpfulness of the Skittermanders than to do whatever she can, wherever she is, to help other people.
Look for the helpers. Always helping. Man, 60 people in that picture. That's a lot, but I just realized how many aunts, uncles, and cousins I have. I'm like, wait a minute.
It adds up. It adds up.
Well, my family's Skittermanders.
maybe they are. So she gets out of bed. She is definitely going to spend a little bit of time on her appearance, make sure that all of her fur is situated just right on her head. She's going to, put on some jewelry. She's got a yellow pendant that she wears that hides a secret holographic book, a history book of the Skittermanders, and carries it with her everywhere she goes. And she dons her long black coat, trying to look very professional and very respectable, and make a good name for the Skittermanders. She is the face of the Skittermanders for the moment, at least in her view.
just FYI, you're the only character that didn't just roll out of bed and was like, well, ready to go. You like dragged a comb across your head. Jabert, your character went to the commode.
Put on deodorant.
Some 5 minutes into the podcast, and then we're like, we found the first space toilet. It's in the capsule hotel.
Okay. I was paying attention to you while you were saying that, but I was also coloring in Drew's picture here with same in color skin. I looked up the the code for the color code for the hex code for salmon.
You know what
the
salmon art would be very upset if you it looks like with the salmon colored skin. You remember back in the 90s there was like the Terminator toys, and there was a Terminator that you would like put into
putty skin
and it would like, and then you could rip the skin off to be the Terminator underneath. You've just made that digitally.
It looks like what if Patrick Starr from SpongeBob turned to the dark side?
Yeah, became the space pirate. You're gonna hate what I've chosen for my character's voice, then, huh?
Hey, SpongeBob. Okay. Yeah. So yeah, your characters, all of them, whether you're sitting down at your computer, trying to shake off that dream, having a bit of a Yoxian black coffee, logging into your data pad or checking the messages on your comm unit, or maybe a community member passes you a note, slips a note under your door, or puts it in your hand as you're going about your day here. But all of you get a message from a potential job lined up, maybe along one of your acquaintances or someone you've worked with before. But the message is from Jules Zakama, a Vesk fixer and pawn broker who typically works out of their shop in the Spike. But the gist of it is there's a job for you, and to meet him to get ready and get the details of the job, he's actually asking you to meet him at a Greasy Spoon down in Little Akaton, a place called the Sunny Six Diner. Are you all okay to head out for the day? Get working.
I'm going to do some preparations real fast.
I do preparations A through G. Drew, you can do preparation H.
Do you put on deodorant as well, Drew? Is that what you're saying?
I don't need you.
I mean,
I've heard that before in college.
Yeah, no, Drew and I were on no deodorant, only Axe body spray diet. It's not a joke.
Yes, it was a joke. Axe body spray didn't exist when we were in college.
It did, because it did. I remember
that's right, they gave us free stuff that time.
Our RA got a box of the like little sample sprays, and he's like, yeah, nobody wants to take these. You guys can have this. I was like, well, I guess I'm set for the next 40 years.
Oh man, they dumped a bunch of those in the freshman boys dorm when I was living in there.
Please use deodorant.
And we were like, guys, check this out. You could like rip the top off, and then you could like smack it against the wall, and it would start spraying out, and then you'd like throw it in somebody's door.
Axe spray bomb.
The room would smell like Axe for the rest of the semester. It was awesome. Dude, college was rad, huh?
We paid so much money to learn that.
I know, it was worth it.
good times. Yeah, I had so many fewer shenanigans when I went to grad school online. My wife was not super interested in all the pranks that I played on her, but I was like, this is my college experience, I gotta do this. wet willied her ear. Okay. Yeah, so you all have this message, meet Joel Zakama, and when you arrive, maybe heading through the city in various parts, you see, you know, Lashunten street preachers maybe a few blocks away from your character street. Zinko, Rebecca?
Zinko. Yep.
They're naysaying, they're doom scrolling on a holographic data pad projector.
I love the idea of like the prophets of the future are just like sitting there on like future like Twitter or whatever, being like, oh yeah, Jerry C says definitely the nukes are happening sometime soon.
We're done with space Twitter. That got shut down. We're now on to black sky?
I guess black sky.
Black sky.
Yeah. Yoxian black sky. Yeah.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, you hear them talking, you know, first Galarian slipped into nothingness. What will be next? Why won't you repent your wicked ways and give yourself to a taxi? The philosophy of the void. Welcome all who know the gods are truly dead. Maybe as you're heading down that way, or I guess headed up that way, cry, you're going actually up a number of levels in the spike to get to Little Akaton. You walk past a large station screen that has some graffiti on it. The speakers have long blown out, but you see peace talks for the Viscarium are taking place, but there's still lots of hostilities along the borders, especially with the dirty space Nazis. The Islanti. I forgot their name for like 8 minutes there. We had to cut out a ton of the podcast.
I got your back.
I'm just going to call them space Nazis. I don't care.
Okay, that's also fine.
Yeah, what are they going to do about it?
Those jerks. We had a whole campaign where they tried to kill you, and I feel bad. No, you see there's been lots of reports on that. As you head down from the docks, Verdunth?
Yeah.
Your elevator down to the spike kind of chugs along, and you get a few messages of like, excuse me, malfunction detected, as it slows down and then goes up like a level or two, and it goes back down again. It's like, crisis averted. I don't know, Drew, where is your character? You're in the docks. Yeah, sorry. Where is Verdunth? What level do you think on the station?
Low is bad, right?
Yeah.
I'm on the first level, baby.
Oh, ooh. Yeah.
I'm deep down in the underspike. I'm in like the spike is where all the rich people live.
Okay.
Don't talk about there's another spike that goes the other way.
So,
I live down at the bottom of that.
Let's set some Absalom Station lore. Is if it's this tall, is this one or is this one and everything below it negative numbers?
It's a great question. I think we asked this in our first season when there was like the level 68 crew. What was the gang members? I feel like the higher the number, the lower you are, because that's like, oh man, they're part of like a triple digit gang. Oh, they're real bad. I don't know if they're that many levels.
Hard.
As you get to, as all of you get down to this neighborhood of Little Akaton, itself a very dark corner of the space station, you turn the block and the entire area is illuminated by a gigantic cartoonish holographic sun projection above the eatery that you're heading to, the diner. Sunny's indeed seems to illuminate almost the entire block with yellows, orange, and reds here, given this holographic representation, perhaps a little bit of sunshine and on Little Akaton. As you walk inside, you see a overworked android with a brightly colored apron behind the bar who comes out and is at the same time like cooking food, ringing in customers, dropping off food, just running around, and he says, well, welcome to Sunny's, please take a number. Enter your desired plates into the space app, and you'll get your meal served in short order. Thank you. Do you guys want anything to eat? Are you hungry? In real life and in game. I'm fine, so get whatever you want.
I order a hot dog.
All right. Well, one hot dog coming up.
Zinko will have the full breakfast, you know, the whole shebang.
The Sunny special, got it.
Yep.
That's eggs, and I don't want any arguments here. That's eggs, hash browns, toast, bacon, and maybe some onions or like a vegetable to keep it somewhat healthy.
Yep. They would like some she would like some hot sauce to go with her eggs, and also some coffee with extra sugar and extra cream.
Okay. I warn you though, like Little Akaton, their hot sauce is like is not regular human Absalom Station hot sauce. It's like legit stuff, you know?
Well, it's a good thing she's not spicy. A human, isn't it? I think Skittermander's like it's spicy too.
I'm just saying. Are they like birds that just can't taste spice?
I mean, maybe that's what it is.
Yeah, you see a couple of scrappy looking Ahsoki scrappers having some egg salad sammies here. There's a few red skinned Lashuntans nursing coffee, but the back of the diner, the large booth, you do see Joel Zakama from maybe some of you have met him before, seen him around, heard of him. Maybe you've just heard descriptions, but he's in a tank top and he's got a open track suit he's always wearing. And he looks to be staring through some holographic data glasses at really nothing. But he's kind of like moving his hands, scrolling through as you get closer to him, what look like shopping catalogs on multiple devices.
He thinks he looks really cool right now. But no one has the heart to tell him he looks like the biggest dork in town.
He's a minority reports kind of like looking through stuff. But yeah, you see he's looking through.
I'm going to get this sweater and I'm going to get this tracksuit.
Yeah. A mega corporation kind of shopping catalogs.
It's just LL Bean.
as he sees you come over, he starts kind of closing some of these. He's like, what do you get for the girl who wants everything and gets everything she wants? Excuse me, like close these out. Thank you all for meeting me. I need to do some shopping up here on this level and a few above. Also wanted to get a nice breakfast, so talking with you, doing this and that. I'm killing three drakes with one spear, as the old Vesk saying goes. You all get my drift.
That's what they say.
Well, all right. Then, hey, let's get to business. I take it, man. Do some of you know one another? Have you met before?
Patrick, have we met before?
I asked you guys if you wanted to have known one another. You can. If you want this to be the first meeting for these characters, that is also fine.
Zinko has definitely never met any of these people, but I assume that she has some connection to Joel because of him being a Vesk, and she knows Vesk, and you know.
Yeah. I feel like we probably all, maybe we all met Joel on like Tinder or whatever.
I have
looking for a connection to do a mission, and then we showed up like looking for a hookup, and he's like, "Yeah, and you're gonna go kill a gangster," and we're like, "Oh."
Yeah, you have to fight a gang in a stocking bay.
Tail, but no, we're not.
Oh,
we're
boy. Go. Not space Tinder, not Cinder, but rather maybe a Starfinder like work forum, like people looking for jobs. But like actual Starfinder Society like folks. So maybe you've worked with people that have worked with Starfinders and yeah, if you guys don't want to have worked together before, you can, introduce yourself. But he says, let me introduce myself first. You guys can do so in kind, but you can call me Joe Zakama, friends. It's a pleasure to hopefully go into business with you. What's your names? Introduce yourself. What do you do?
I'm Zinko. It's nice to meet you all.
Hello, Zinko.
And she holds out three of her hands. Well, I guess four if Joel is meeting her too.
I reach out and take one of the hands and shake it.
Yes, hello.
My character raises a hand, looks over at the different plates of food in front of him, picks up the most delicious piece of, you know, space bacon or a space hash brown off somebody else's plate. Like,
It sounds like you're stealing from Zinko. It's either a hot dog or the full breakfast platter is what you're stealing from.
So he looks at Zinko, gives her a nod, a little tip of the hat, because he wears a cool hat, and is like, Scally's the name. Cheers.
Greetings, all of you. And I also am like crossing my arms and like shaking everyone's hand. With each of my forearms, I say, my name is Verdunt. I will be your support officer for this engagement, and I if as long as we all work together as a team, we'll all come out of this some of us will come out of this alive.
What? Joel Sagala says, this is a class F dangerous mission, so you don't got to worry about that. But yeah.
There we go.
What about you, the big old creepy bag of bones? Hello, sir.
This is a telepathic communication, and it's just, I'm Cry Cry, and I will serve as support as best I can. I will, if we are going to be doing missions, I will need to form a mystic bond so that I can adequately preserve your living bodies.
Tyler. Oh, no.
That sounds like something you guys can do in your own time. Don't bond with anyone here at the diner table there, Cry Cry.
Oh, no, Tyler. You asked me which one of us was gonna be the support character, and I could have sworn I hit send on this message. Oh, no. Oh, boy. These two are going to be carrying us super hard.
He says, I mean, I'd say support, but Cry Cry mostly has things that support the team by ending the life of other things around them.
Oh, I see what you mean. Okay, well, that's fine.
I support killing things.
I can still heal things.
That's good, too.
You're playing a Barathu, Tyler. It's something that we've met Barathus in the podcast before, but
yeah.
In the Alien Archive, they're described as blimp-like creatures, vaguely reminiscent of jellyfish, with several unusual evolutionary adaptations.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's been nasty enough to play one on the podcast.
Yeah, no one's been freaky enough for Tyler.
Not only am I freaky enough to play a weird mixed bag of jelly-like substances with tendrils and bone spurs.
And hot gases.
And hot gases. But yeah, Cry Cry is a Barathu. They have the merged heritage, which means that two or more Barathu have merged together into a single being.
Oh, that's nasty.
I don't know how much background we're getting into right now, Patrick.
I mean, as much as you want without making me sick. I had dinner like not too long ago. So.
Oh, okay.
don't get real.
When two Barathus love each other very much, they both fart into each other until they turn into one big bag of farts.
They fart into eternity into one another.
Yes. So most Barathu are medium sized, but because of this merger, so Cry yucky. Cry is large.
So yucky.
You could have told me that when I was setting your token up, Tyler. How dare you?
So they are large, and part of the merger is there was some not so great things involved, and so that is why oftentimes their presence forces lights to dim or the temperature in the room to drop,
or glasses to fog, or
children scream,
birds to fall out of the sky,
flowers wilt,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That sort of thing.
Cool. Is that everybody? Can we get everyone through? Cry Cry. We got Cry Cry, a Barathu. We got Zinko, the Skittermander, Verdumph, a Kasothan, and Scally? Scally, a android, I'm guessing.
Yeah. We should probably also say, if you wanted to know what we're playing, we did a whole podcast months ago.
It will be before this. Yeah, I said, those would be starting points, but I don't think necessarily we had 100% of those, but they're 100% now because we're about to start playing. So Joel Zakama like nods along as you talk a little bit about yourselves and what y'all can do, and it's nice. Hopefully we'll get to do some more business together, because I got a job for you. I acquired a freighter with, let's call it, a colorful past. Great investment opportunity, the listing said, which means probably a fixer-upper, but deal was too good to pass up, but also too good to be true. Word on the ring is my guy that towed it in found it out in Aslanti space, so it could be a big payday for salvage, but I'm up to my horns in work. I've got this party coming up I gotta prepare for. I need help to clear it out. Help me catalog the assets and get it ready. Tell me if I gotta put a bunch of work into it or if it's more of a, you know, sell it for parts kind of thing. But if you want in, you take a shuttle out up into the Armada, use my passcode to get past the impound lot, clear out the dangers or anything else that survived quarantine, and I'll give you a cut of the salvage. Maybe a little something extra for your trouble. How's that sound?
That is most adequate.
Work. All right. Please do not steal my spaceship and go on epic space adventures, zigzagging across the universe and stopping a plot to destroy the galaxy. I beg you, don't do that.
Thank no, you. We won't. And I've got all my fingers crossed behind my back.
Yeah, you guys got like 14 arms between four characters. That's too many. That's way too many.
I'm war champions of Absalom Station, 5 years running.
Do you guys, any questions or anything you want to say here?
Came from Aslanti space. Are we to understand this is an Aslanti, a ship of Aslanti provenance or just, from that sector?
I don't know if it's an Aslanti ship, but,
does it have big Nazi stuff inside painted on the side of it?
I've not been inside it yet. Nazi stuff.
Have you seen the outside of it?
They just towed it in a few weeks ago from, out from near space. But even if it's not as lanty ship, folks at that way have a whole different technological shiny magitech thing going on. So if the rumors are true about this purchase, it might be a ship that could be loaded with equipment we don't see much on this side of the galaxy. So you know what that means. he rubs his finger together. Like, that's going to be a lot of cred sticks.
Have any claims towards deceased entities on board been made?
No. What are you talking about? This isn't a undead ship, if that's what you're talking about. It's derelict.
If no one has made claim on any dead bodies that might be on the vessel, I would
I see.
Appreciate you it if you could have them shipped to my address once we clear things out.
Hey, man, whatever you, Barathu, do in your free time, it's the year 3025. that thing, I don't yuck any space bags, yum. But, you know, there are laws here. So do it out in the Armada, not on the station. They'll nail you for that one.
Understood.
Yeah. This ship have a name?
Well, what a question. Look at this guy and all his good questions there. Yeah, it's got a name. It's certainly written in the background information that I've got on this tablet right here in front of me. Let me just scroll through. Yep, scrolling through. All right, out the ship's name. Got it right here. One moment. Looking through. I don't think it's actually in the AP. Hold on. You know what they do have in the AP? Well, the code... The passcode to get into it is 1607.
So maybe that's the name of the ship, and they were just not very creative. It was called 1607, and it's just like, that's also how you get in?
Yeah. Yep.
Thieves would never guess that.
Yeah, I do the same thing. My house number is the password to all my bank.
I think he doesn't know. He says, to answer one of his questions, you know, what do you know about this ship? He says, big fat nothing. Best be ready for anything, friends?
Just something that he bought, and I think maybe it was powered down, so it wasn't pinging its information out.
Transponder's dead. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is this like when you buy a shipping container, or like...
I think it's exactly that.
It's a Storage Wars.
It's when you buy a ship.
Yeah, I mean, it was sure. a derelict ship that was towed back to the Armada, which is, you know, made up of thousands and thousands of ships, many of them junk that are being worked on. So yeah, that's your job. Get in there, crack that baby open. and get to work.
Sounds great.
Get to work.
I dig it.
So when do we start?
Cosmic Crit, the Starfinder role-playing game and adventure paths are trademarks of Paizo. All Pathfinder and Starfinder images are property of Paizo and are used with permission.